This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu, definitely the best mouthguard out there on the market. Visit sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order. Friday, May 18th, Fightin' Apex Podcast, episode number 11. All right, episode number 11. I'm going to go over the fights this weekend. I'm watching the one championship main event right now. We're between the fourth and the fifth round. You got Mei Yamaguchi taking on Angela Lee. My pick for the fight, I kind of previewed it on Monday, but I've got Lee to win the fight. She's definitely more or less won the first four rounds, had a lot of submissions, and I think she's had two or three pretty close, had an armbar that looked like she might get it, had the shoulder kind of hyperextended, but couldn't get it, and her striking's been good. She's been out for almost a year. They previewed she had a pretty bad car accident that kind of kept her out of commission for a bit. And her brother actually fought in, it was a couple fights before this for a title. Lost to Martin Yen by decision. Her brother's Christian Lee, so he's now 9-2. We're right into it. So that's the Singapore one championship Unstoppable Dreams. And on Monday, my featured up-and-comer, he fought there this morning. So I had said that Karun Atlantariev, he was going to take on Edward Foliang. Foliang had lost his last fight in December against Martin Yen, who, like I mentioned, Martin Yen just beat Christian Lee to win his featherweight title. So I had previewed the Predator. You know, he was 11-0, five submission wins, five knockouts, one decision, fought in OFS in Russia, Octagon Fighting Sensation. But Foliang was 18-6. He's fought all the best guys in one, and he just lost his featherweight belt here in December. So more or less set it up that Foliang was going to win, but my up-and-comer, he was going to be kind of thrown to the wolves. I mean, 11-0, and Foliang was able to get the decision win there this morning. I'm looking here. Yamaguchi's giving Lee fits here in this fifth round. We got 2.5 minutes left. So either way, 1FC, really great event. They had a Muay Thai fight here not long ago that I was able to watch, and they always put on a good fight. Kind of unfortunate that it's so early on a Friday and not a lot in North America are able to watch, but that's kind of offset by the fact that 1FC offers the free app, and you're allowed to watch all the fights for free on the app. So good on them, and a great event so far. So tomorrow on Saturday at 12 o'clock Eastern, I said I'm going to try and help you figure out how to navigate the channels and figure out what to watch. So it's pretty straightforward, actually, if you really dig into it. So Fight Nights Globals at 12 o'clock Eastern from Rusevan Don, Russia. You know, I mentioned on Monday it was originally scheduled to take place in Brazil, but their owner was jailed, and for some reason they moved the event back to Russia. So kind of looking a little gloomy for Fight Nights Global. I really enjoy their fights, and I like the show they put on. You know, one of their top prospects that I like to watch is Khabib's cousin Omar Nurmagomedov, who's fought in Fight Nights Global in the past. And you can catch some of those fights on Fight Pass as well. UFC Fight Pass, they feature them. So your main event, it's a lightweight fight between 10-4-1. Peter the Showstopper Quelli is taking on 24-3 David Ketchatryan. You know, Quelli fights out of SBG. Saw Ian Pascoe able to get the win there at Bama 35 last weekend. He's 2-2-1 in his last five. And, you know, all of his 10 wins, they've come by decision. If you look into Ketchatryan, he's 4-1 in his last five. He's a larger fighter size-wise. Height-wise, Quelli's an inch taller, but he's a bigger guy. And he's got 10 submission wins in those 24. So pick Ketchatryan to win. Should be a good main event for sure. I don't know if it would be my main event. I think I'd go off of prestige alone. And your co-main's for a lightweight or light heavyweight belt. So in that fight, you've got two former UFC vets. You've got Fabio Maldonado taking on Nikita Krylov. Both guys fought in the UFC previously. Krylov went 6-3 in the UFC, had notable wins over Ed Herman, Walt Harris, and Francimar Barossa. And, you know, he's 4-1 in his last five. If you look at Maldonado, he's lost 4 in a row before he won his last two. And of those four losses, he fought Fedor, Rampage, and Corey Anderson. You know, and Maldonado, he's 38 years old. Krylov, I think he's not yet 30. You know, take him to win. He's 12 years younger, so he's 26. And all of his wins have been by finish, whether it's knockout or submission. So take Krylov to win for sure. I see the fight's over here in one. It looks like it. Yeah. Gee. Good main event for sure. And Angela Lee, it'd be great to see her in the UFC, you know. Really good record and a good champ over there in one. Saturday as well, 3 o'clock Eastern, ACB 87 from Nottingham. You got your main event between two featherweights. You got 10-1 Kane Musa taking on 14-4 Robert Whiteford. Tail of the tape, look into Musa's record. You know, his only loss came by way of knockout by Mark Giacchese. And in my mind, Mark Giacchese, I mean, Dan Hooker kind of took the train off the tracks, but he's a super prospect, a super striker. And, I mean, no shame in losing to him. If you look into Whiteford's record, he went 2-3 in the UFC, and he was actually able to win his last fight against an MMA legend in Nam Phan. So I would take Musa to get the win, but it's going to go the distance. So decision win for Musa. They're just about to announce the winner of your one championship fight here. Co-main event bout. You got middleweights, Bellator star Fernando Gonzalez taking on Peter Strus. You know, I saw Gonzalez ran into some travel issues this week. He had a hard time. He was stuck in New York for quite a while. But pending, you know, the weight cut, and they said, I saw on Twitter there already, everyone made weight for ACB, so no issues there. I know Gonzalez, he's had some troubles with weight in the past, but he was moving up to middleweight from welterweight, so good on him. And, you know, Gonzalez, more tools in his tool belt. If you look at the way that he's able to win fights, he can win by submission, by knockout, and he can point and win by decision. So, really well-rounded fighter. Take Gonzalez to get the win. Also, I didn't mention it on Monday, but a good fight to kind of keep your eye on. You've got a guy who went 0-3 in the UFC, 0-1 in Bellator, but he always faced top competition. Angela Lee able to get the win and retain her title and won, by the way. Mike Rhodes competing at ACB 87. He's 10-5 overall. You know, his losses are to guys like Robert Whittaker, Rafael Lovato Jr. in Bellator, lost Eric Silva, but he's got some big-name wins. You know, he beat Rakeem Cleveland, who's going to fight in PFL here in June, and he also beat Alan Joban in the past, so he's got those wins. Taking on Ibrahim Chuzayev, who's 11-5, you know, I mean, the records don't really tell much, but if you really look into Ibrahim's record, hasn't really faced the same level of competition. I mean, he's been in ACB and you know, like organizations, but his wins haven't been over the same type of competition that Rhodes has faced in the past, win or lose. So take Rhodes to get the win in that fight. Also featured on that main card, you've got, you know, another legend. You got Takeo Mitsugaki. He's 21-13-2, taking on 13-1 Pietro Manga. Pretty easy in that fight. Just take Manga to win. You know, Mitsugaki hasn't really had the greatest of fortunes recently, so should be an easy win for Manga. So you've got Fight Nights Global at noon Eastern, 1 o'clock Atlantic. You've got ACB 87 at 3 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Atlantic. So if you're trying to line up your main cards, you should have time enough to watch Fight Nights Global, then switch over to ACB. And then on Saturday night, the main card for the UFC Fight Night in Chile, it starts at 9 o'clock Eastern, so 10 o'clock Atlantic from Santiago, Chile. Your main event, it was supposed to be Ponzinibbio taking on Usman, but Ponzinibbio had to step away. So you've got Damian Maia. You know, Maia in his last two fights, he lost to Colby Covington by decision. He lost to Tyron Woodley for the title. Before that, he was on a 7-fight win streak. You know, Usman, the Nigerian nightmare, he's 12-1. He only lost a second pro fight out of that. He's a heavy favorite. He's a minus 700 on most websites. So if you have a look, I know the UFC, they posted a free fight on YouTube. It was Maia against Matt Brown. And Maia was absolutely able to dominate the entire fight and won by submission ultimately. But Matt Brown, he's a great fighter. But at the same time, Kamaru Usman's a different animal. You know, Kamaru, he's a much better wrestler. He's he can get a win, the win by the knockout. If he's smart, he'll keep the fight standing, keep it on the feet. And, I mean, I'm a big Usman fan. So, you know, Maya, probably the best jiu-jitsu out there. You know, there's him, there's Jacare, and there's possibly Dylan Danis, Lovato Jr., Mackenzie Dern, all fighters that we've been lucky to see fight recently in the last month or so. So, I mean, Maya's always dangerous, but at the same time, he said he's probably going to fight out the last four fights in his contract and retire, which, again, that's not really something that you want to hear. He's not in the same predicament as Justin Gaethje, where Gaethje has taken so much punishment in his last two or three fights that he kind of wants to quit. But I take Usman in this fight for sure. It's a pretty easy pick, like I said, minus 700 on most sites. But yeah, Usman in the main event. Your co-main, you've got 10-1 Alexa Grasso taking on 5-0 Tatiana Suarez. And you might think, you know, Grasso, she's had some pretty good luck here recently. In her last fight, she beat Randa Markos by split decision. Before that fight, she lost by decision to the little bulldog, Felice Herrig. If you really look into Suarez's record, she's a favorite for sure, which kind of surprised me. But she's 9-0 total, 5-0 as a pro. So 4-0 amateur and on the Ultimate Fighter. And 6 of her 9 fights were won by submission. So expect the same thing Saturday night. I think she's going to be able to submit Grasso and get the win. Fight before that, I mentioned on Monday, a couple of heavy hitters. You got 10-3 Jared Cannonier taking on 8-0 Dominic Reyes. Cannonier's 3-2 in his last 5. He's got 5 knockout wins out of his 10 total. Reyes, on the other hand, he's 8-0 as a pro and 5-0 as an amateur with 11 finishes in 13 fights. Expect Reyes to be able to get the win. If you watch a Cannonier fight, his gas tank isn't really the best. So Reyes should be able to get the win there. Another exciting matchup on the card. You've got Canadian Chad Laprise taking on Vicente Luque. You know, Laprise, he's won his last 3. In his last fight, he had the knockout win over Glover Bufondo. And Luque, you know, in his last fight, he beat a big prospect, in my opinion, Nico Price, by submission. He's a real dynamic guy. He can get the knockout, but at the same time, he's really good on the ground. I like Laprise as well. Kind of, it makes sense for him to take this fight, and he's really excited to go to Chile and fight, but it'd be awesome if we could see him fight on that July 28th card in Calgary. But, yeah, take Luque to win the fight. And I mentioned on Monday possibly a fight of the night candidate, and I actually got to see both of these guys fight at UFC 220 in Boston. You've got Enrique Barzola taking on Brandon Davis. And I said on Monday, you're going to get your fill of, I just want to bang, bro. These guys are going to stand and trade, but I think Barzola is going to come out on top, and this is why. Barzola is 4-1 in the UFC, won his last fight in Boston against the Boston kid, Matt Bissett. Davis, he came up in the Contender Series and made a statement, but man, he throws down with like just careless disregard. He's 1-1 in the UFC. He's an exciting fighter. If there's still gas in the tank with the minute left in the fight, he'll put his head down and just throw wild, which is awesome to watch. I mean, people love, like I said, people love Justin Gaethje, and they love to see the just bleed and let me bang, bro, type moments. But that's not how you're going to have a successful career. And I think Barzola, he's a more dynamic guy, better movement on the feet. He's going to be able to get the win. It's probably going to go to decision, but pick Barzola to win that fight. So in boxing on Saturday night, you've got Adonis Stevenson taking on Badu Jack from TO, the 6. It's going to be on Showtime for the WBC light heavyweight belt. You know, Jack, he's a more dynamic striker. He tends to push forward a lot, which could land him in some hot water, where Stevenson, he's got the heavy hands. I mean, the odds are really close. I think Jack's actually the underdog, just a slight underdog. The last time I looked, it was minus 105 for Jack and minus 125 for the champ, Stevenson. And, you know, Stevenson's on a 16-fight win streak. But what I expect to happen is, you know, once we get later into the rounds, Jack's going to push and push more. And the issue could be that he gets countered. But I think he's going to be able to push forward and get the late-round knockout and end that streak. Also on Saturday night, you've got 28-1 Gary Russell Jr. taking on Joseph Diaz for the WBC featherweight title. You know, if you look into the odds, Russell's a heavy favorite. He's got a lot of knockouts on his record, and his only loss is to actually current pound for pound great, and he fought last weekend, Lomachenko. And that fight was in 2014, and since then he's been able to win his last four fights, and he's been able to win convincingly. So I expect him to be able to get the knockout win and keep that title. So I was looking around on the old interweb today, and I headed over to First Row Collectibles. We had an interview there a few weeks ago with Curtis Housen. You go over to firstrow.ca, check out their selection. They've got MMA autographs, they've got hockey cards, wrestling memorabilia, you name it, they've got it. Like, I went on today, I saw they had some Guy Lafleur signed cards. Big Canadiens fan, so that interested me. They've got a lot of different Jets cards. You know, playoffs are in full swing. They got the white out there in Winnipeg when we were talking to Stefan on Monday, or Tuesday rather. And I dug in some more, and they've got some classic 60 Sports Illustrated magazines. I saw one with Jack Nicklaus on it. Pretty neat. Head on over to their website for our listeners only. Use the promo code FNP at checkout, and you'll get free shipping. So that's at firstrow.ca, and all their prices on the website are in Canadian dollars. So if you're an American listener, keep in mind you're going to be saving roughly 25% with the exchange, plus you're going to be getting free shipping, which is a good deal. Promo code FNP at checkout, First Row Collectibles. Also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguard. You know, I've ragged on the last few weeks. The one game I didn't wear a mouthguard, I'm dead serious. I ended up losing a tooth playing hockey. And for, I think it was probably 3 or 4 months, I had a cap on there. And everybody gave me a hard time because it looked like it was gray and I had a gray tooth and blah, blah, blah. So eventually I ended up getting a crown. All in all, probably cost me about $1,000 when I could have been wearing my mouthguard. And I've always had a Sisu mouthguard. You know, I used to have those Boil and Bite heavy, thick rubber mouthguards. You can't talk, you can't drink. They get to the back of your mouth and you gag. They're never good. But the Sisu mouthguards, like, I've never had an issue with them. I can talk well, they stay clean, and they fit really, really well. So, I mean, if you go with Sisu, they offer a $35,000 dental warranty. And, I mean, that's good for a year. So they'll cover any out-of-pocket dental expenses if you get hurt while wearing their mouth guard. So if you head over to their website at sisuguard.com and enter the promo code FNP10, you'll receive 10% off your order. You know, like I said, they're a lot more comfortable than your conventional style mouth guard. If you're in MMA or in any combat sports and you get into your corner, you know, they've got those great big bulky mouth guards and they have a hard time popping them out. The Sisu mouth guard, you're not going to have an issue like that. If you're a hockey player and you're out on the ice, you're trying to call for a pass, you're getting close to the net, you want to score, but they can't understand what you're saying. You're just swinging your stick because you got a great big mouth guard in your mouth and you can't talk. Sisu, it's going to help you out. And the biggest thing is, you know, you want to squirt a drink of water, whether you're in your corner or you're on the bench. And with one of those great big mouth guards, it is a hassle. You know, you see them take the mouth guard out of the mouth of the competitor in the corner just about every weekend because they have a hard time drinking with them in. So head on over to SISU Guard, promo code FNP10, and you'll really enjoy a mouth guard from them. So news and announced fights from this week. I'm starting to do a Thursday Twitter poll. So I had one there yesterday, and I asked, what fights are you most excited about this weekend? Which cards? I had the options of ACB, UFC, One Unstoppable Dreams, and other. And 80% responded ACB, and 20% responded UFC. So I must be reaching those ACB fans, and I must have kind of shown my, you know, who I'm kind of leaning towards. But like I said, ACB 87 this weekend, it's definitely going to be probably the most exciting card. I'm really excited for the Maya Usman fight and the few that I mentioned, Berzola Davis as well, but ACB is probably one of the better cards this weekend. And I mean, like I said, one this morning was really good. You got to see siblings fight one after another. Christian Lee wasn't able to get the win, but Angela was able to hold on to her title, so pretty interesting there. As far as news from this week, I think the big news is probably the fact that Ariel Helwani agreed to go on ESPN Plus. You know, they signed that big contract with the UFC last week. They're going to be holding fights on ESPN Plus. You're still going to have coverage on Fight Pass and as well on television. You're going to have your pay-per-views. So I think overall cost of the fans is going to be an extra $50 a year, which it's not great if you're trying to draw in the casual fans. The good thing that they did, I had an argument with some friends when there was a rumor the day before ESPN announced they were going to hire Ariel. We kind of found something on a website, and I didn't totally believe it, but I read it and I thought, why would ESPN go with a guy like Ariel? I mean, Ariel's probably one of the best MMA journalists that's out there. Typically, they don't do that. They'll pick somebody with tenure. They'll pick somebody with a big name. You know, with Fox, you've got Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless talking about God knows what and how Nate Diaz actually weighs 185 pounds or 170 pounds and he couldn't cut and fight Connor and all that jazz. Anyway, they made the smart move. They got Ariel. So good for ESPN. And I see on Wednesdays they're going to have an Ariel and Chael Sonnen podcast. So I don't know what that's going to have to do with Chael's current podcast. I really like listening to that. But really excited. The two of them, I'm sure the chemistry will be great, be really interesting, and really look forward to the ESPN Plus move. As far as announced fights this week, I talked about it a bit on Tuesday, but you had more kind of developments on the Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz front for De La Hoya Promotions. You know, a few different people have kind of said that they think that De La Hoya is just kind of a ploy for him to get at Dana. Dana's getting into Zuffa boxing, and they've talked about hiring Mikey Garcia. And I retweeted something on Twitter here recently. I saw that Matchroom Boxing, they got a big deal there. I think it was last week for about $1 billion to televise boxing fights. So they're looking to hire Mikey Garcia as well. So Mikey, hot commodity. Who knows whether Matchroom and Eddie Hearn are able to sign him or Zuffa Boxing with Dana are able to sign him. I mean, he's a top talent, beaten top names. So pretty interesting there. But back to the MMA, you know, it doesn't make sense to have this trilogy fight. Liddell won the first two, so that doesn't make sense. Liddell's like, what, 1-6 in his last seven or 1-5 in his last six? Tito, he beat Chael about a year ago, I think. And he's been the more active fighter. You know, he's been involved in Bellator. He trains with Perilla's Gym, Rook Sport. And he's Cyborg's wrestling coach, which didn't work for a while against Kunitskaya. But still, the odds, I guess, came out. And it was mentioned on Twitter again. I saw something, and I wish I wrote it down, but somebody said, well, why would Tito be the favorite to win? Well, all you have to do is think about it. Liddell's chin wasn't good at the end of his career, and he was on a losing streak. He beat Vanderlei by decision in one of those six or seven fights. Tito's fought more recently, and Tito has a win from last year, so it makes more sense. Tito's a younger guy, too, so definitely I would have Tito to win the fight easy. I mean, all he has to do is wrestle Liddell, get him to the ground, either go ground and pound or go for a submission like he did with Chael. But yeah, take Tito to win in that fight if it happens. But that's a big if. I mean, people are kind of, they're not sure if De La Hoya is just kind of doing this for promotion or what the point is, because Liddell and Tito, they've been promoing it, but there's been no announced fight. There's no tickets for sale. There's no date involved. So it's all kind of sketchy and kind of up in the air. Just had a look on Twitter here before I started up, and I see that there were no real weigh-in issues for UFC Chile and none for ACB either. So, very best there. And this is kind of a short one. You know, this is pretty much episode 11 of the podcast. On Monday, like I do, I like to spread it out, go over this past weekend, preview the next weekend. You've got an up and comer as well. The last 2 weeks we've had interviews. So, on Monday or Tuesday, it all depends on how things work out, but hopefully we'll have another interview and you'll get another episode. So hopefully enjoy the fights this weekend. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, review the podcast. We're also on Stitcher now. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Fight Night Picks, and I'm also Fight Night Picks on Facebook as well. And I'm probably going to do something on Periscope tomorrow, so if you want to have a look at that, I'll be live on Periscope as well. So I'll be back on Monday to recap this weekend's matchups, preview next weekend, pick an up-and-comer, and we'll see you on Monday.